Okay, I'll tell you about my co-authors while we wait for this, okay? Jamie Daniels, the graduate student who worked on this project, and then a really key collaborator on this project was Lou Grant, who is the patriarch of Grant Family Farms. Now, what's important about him, or for this audience anyway, is that he was a former faculty member at Colorado State University in atmospheric sciences. So what matters there is that he kind of thinks like a scientist. So he sampled every field of their organic farm every fall for many years, and he kept all the data. Now the part that may be like some of you scientists and maybe not like others of you that was different was that these soil test reports and notes about what we plant here and there were all mixed together in cardboard boxes in the basement. And so this was sort of a treasure trove for Jamie Daniel to go through and sort out and see what could we learn from all of this experience. So getting at the Western agricultural challenges in particular, there are a few things that many of you know are problems for us in the West. One of those is that many soils have high pHs, not just above 7, but even above 8, and that when we get up into those pH ranges, there are certain nutrient deficiencies that become more common, specifically phosphorus, zinc, and iron. So we'll look at some data on those nutrients in particular. We also have very low soil organic matter. You know, 1.5 is considered pretty high for Colorado. Less than 1 is common. And as in other arid areas, especially in irrigated systems, we have the potential for salt to build up and to cause problems in plant growth. So we'll look at some data on those things as well. The things that we don't normally need to care about are potassium, because our soils are abundant in potassium, and the micronutrients, manganese and copper deficiencies, I wrote, are rare, but I'm not aware that they've ever happened. In Colorado, anyway. So the objective of this study was to look at how the transition at Grant Family Farms from a conventional farm to organic farm affected those kinds of factors. And you can see the list of things that we looked at here. It looks surprisingly like a soil test report, right? And so that's because this comes directly from the soil testing that the farm was doing on their own. Like, so what's different about this talk compared to the one before me and after me, they're both done on university research farms. And this study really was basically mining data that was already present on a real working farm. So Grant Family Farms is the largest organic vegetable farm in Colorado. They also grow a number of herbs, and they grow for both local consumption through a CSA and through local grocery stores, but they also sell internationally and particularly to Japan. So they're located right where the mountains and the plains come together, basically. And so they're just at the beginnings of the Great Plains. And the climate in our area is semi-arid, except for this year. But typically in this area, we get about 330 millimeters of rain per year. So center pivot irrigation is the common form of irrigation at Grant Family Farms in order to produce a crop. Now, they started converting their farm to organic in the 70s and really moved in that direction fully in the 80s. And so you'll see a range of how many years different fields were in the organic system. And our goal is to look at how did these basic soil fertility properties change as a function of time. How many years has that field been in organic ag? So let's talk a little about what they do at Grant Family Farms as far as their fertility program. Their intention is to use green manures in 2 out of every 3 years and to use dairy manure once every 3 years. And so there are different cover crops or green manures that they use depending on the crops they're growing in rotation. So in the spring and summer, they use oats and field peas. In the fall, vetch rye mix or Austrian pea rye mixes. Now, what's been happening in recent years, though, is because of reduced water availability, cover crops and green manures kind of take a hit when you don't have any water to irrigate them with. Usually, farmers will choose to irrigate the crop that makes them money. So we have that issue in Colorado and other western states. So what's happened, even though this is their intention, is that they've actually been using more manure than what that slide says, because they haven't had enough water to take care of the green manures. So the livestock manure is kind of subbing in for water, actually. And then what they do at Grant Family Farms is sample every field every fall to 30 centimeter depth, and then send it off to the CSU soil testing lab. And so these are the results I'm going to show you all come directly from that soil testing program. So we looked at 12 fields, and you can see some of the characteristics of those fields here. There are a lot more fields than that, but these are the ones we could get the most data out of those cardboard boxes in the basement. So you can see this field sizes vary from about 17 acres to about 63. So there's a variety of sizes of these fields. And one of the challenges in dealing with this data was that they kept subdividing fields into, you know, splitting a field and then saying, let's plant this on this side and something else on that side. Then they'd merge fields back together. And I'll show you what that looks like in the data set here in a sec. All of the soil textures are pretty heavy in texture. So you can see we've got clay loams and clays. The sandy clay loam is the lightest soil on this particular farm. And then the next column, you see the years that that field has been in organic production. And so we go from 7 all the way up to 17, I think it is. Yeah. And then you see after those that it says N equals whatever, right? So for example, field number 1 had 14 years in organic production, but N equals 17. That's because they took a field and subdivided it, and they sampled both of those halves of the field for a couple years, and then they merged the field back together. So you end up with 17 in one field. So in other fields, you'll see that we have fewer, like field 8. 17 years in organic production, but we only found 8 of the soil test results over those 17 years. So that just describes for you some of the challenges of dealing with this data set. So this is the type of analysis that we did with the data that we could find. So what you see basically is that we ran regressions as a function of time in organic production. And you can see there that some years have 2 data points. That's because a field was split, right? And so you get the idea. But generally, what you can see here in this particular field, the p-value of 0.06, it's kind of a borderline significant. But since this is a real-world system, I'd go with p of 0.10 and call it significant. So the r-squared isn't real high, but we do have a negative slope there showing that in that period of about 14 years, we saw a significant reduction in soil pH, which is a valuable thing in Colorado. Now, we're concerned about electrical conductivity there as well, of course. And in fact, many people avoid using manure in Colorado because they're concerned about the salts in manure making a salinity problem worse. And compost usually has a higher EC values than manure does, so it becomes even of greater concern. In this particular study, just 2 out of the 12 fields showed any significant increase in electrical conductivity of the soil. So it is something that farmers need to pay attention to, but it wasn't a dramatic impact. Here are the organic matter results from that one field, and I'll show you results for all the fields later after I give you a little flavor based on this first field. And you can see here we've got a significant increase in soil organic matter in this particular field, up to about 3%, which is very high for our area. So that organic matter increase and the pH decrease are likely to be related to each other, right? They both changed in a third of the fields, and there is probably related to the organic matter as it decomposes, releasing organic acids and leading to a reduced pH. The next thing we'll talk about is the macronutrients, and you know how nitrate is. Many states don't measure nitrate in making their fertilizer recommendations. We do measure it in Colorado, but because it's so variable, we didn't see any changes in any of the fields over this study period. However, we did see significant increases in soil phosphorus and potassium. In 92% of the fields increased significantly in soil phosphorus after their conversion to organic production methods, and soil potassium also increased in about two-thirds of the fields. So I'll show you an example again of our phosphorus increases. This is one of the most dramatic impacts of going to the organic organic production system. And as I mentioned, over 90% of the fields showed something like this, showed a significant increase in soil phosphorus levels. Now, we start to get a little nervous when soil phosphorus, this is measured by Olsen extract or the sodium bicarbonate extract, when it gets up to about 100, we start to wonder about phosphorus runoff concerns. So we're about halfway there at the end of the 15-year period. And so it's important for us to start to pay attention to this and make sure that in an organic system we're not excessively building up soil phosphorus. Okay, now we'll take a look at micronutrients, specifically zinc and iron, the ones that are of greatest concern in high pH soils. Zinc and iron both showed significant increases in about 40% of the fields that were evaluated. Manganese was significant in only 17%, and copper wasn't significant at all. We'll take a look now at the iron and zinc results. So here, it's a fairly flat line, but it's still a significant increase in the soil zinc levels in this particular field. And iron, the slope of the line's a little greater as a function of time. So these increases in zinc and iron, I think, are due to probably at least two different things. One is that there's zinc and iron in the manure that's applied to soil. And then secondly, because there was a pH reduction, those DTPA extracts might be showing an increased availability because of reduced pH in many of those soils. So here you see the data for all of the fields together. Is there a pointer up here?
There's not. We
could find it. Okay. Well, we've got a little color coding there, so maybe that'll help us out. The middle column is the number of fields that were significant, and the first number is with a p-value of 0.05, and the one in parentheses is 0.10. And then we'll focus on the last column, though, which is the percent of fields that showed significant changes during that period of the conversion to organic system. So you can see, I do have some color coding here to help us out. So phosphorus and potassium were the nutrients that changed the most dramatically, or changed in the most, I should say, in the greatest number of fields. And then pH, organic matter, zinc, and iron also changed in a considerable number of fields. In all the cases, it's increasing except for the pH, where their reductions were, where they were significant reductions, right? So in conclusion, the methods of organic production that are used at Grant Family Farms, specifically the soil fertility practices, are a promising way to meet some of the challenges that we have in Western agriculture. What we saw is some reduction in pH, which is critically important. We also saw increased phosphorus, zinc, and iron, three very important nutrients in our system, increased organic matter levels, and very little impact on the soil salinity levels. So that was a positive result. Thanks for your attention. I'd be happy to take questions if there's time. Maybe we can get us back on schedule.
If anyone had a quick question, we're back on time. Or comment.
Just because you had a relationship with the producer, what was the motivation to shift to organic, given they were probably producing vegetables before? Was it primarily to access markets, premiums and markets?
I didn't know the Grant family when they made the shift, but based on knowing them today, I would say it probably was for market more than for environmental reasons. Yes. Within a field, they always took at least a half a dozen subsamples to a 30-centimeter depth, you know, scattered randomly across that field. So they didn't, like, they weren't geo-referenced or anything like that. They were random. Yes?
What's the method of tillage that they used, and how often did the tillage take place throughout the intensive cropping season?
It's pretty intensively tilled. Yeah. With moldboard plow.
For a year?
Yeah, several tillages a year. Hey.
The mix of vegetables, they grow for CSA and export. I know it's almost impossible, but in general, is it, row crop vegetables primarily, or are they also mixing greens? And they do a spring, summer, fall for each field?
What they did is they were marketing internationally for a long time and only started the CSA 2 years ago. So they saw a new market, and they hired a separate manager for the CSA. So the CSA is actually in a field over here by itself, and it functions sort of like a normal CSA, while over here they're producing on a much larger scale. That's right. That's right. It's not from the CSA.
So are most, are they doing spring, are they harvesting year round, or are they mostly grow two-crop cycle?
Well, it's Colorado, so it's not really year round. We got 2 feet of snow last week. But it's often can be two or three summer crops. Some of the vegetable crops you just harvest several times. So they've got, it's a very extensive scheduling, of all the crop rotations. Yes?
Yeah, with the increase in organic matter, the water holding capacity of the soil should be increasing. Is anybody tracking or looking at water usage yet?
It'd be nice to do that, but, without the baseline samples, we have baseline soil fertility samples. We don't have a control, So if we evaluated water, if we evaluated earthworms, any of the other things you'd think of, what we have here is just soil fertility, not really the big picture of soil quality. And so the best we could do as far as a control would be a neighbor, a neighbor farming conventionally.
I think we need to move on.
Okay.
Thanks very much.